Tēnā koutou katoa, Anahila Kanongata Asuisuiki, welcome to Well with Anahila this afternoon. I've got a wonderful guest today, her name is Latavia Taiopo Ngaere June Anastasia Tuasia Tautai. Now, Latavia is a young person who lives in West Auckland, and we're going to have a conversation about what she actually does towards well-being. If you're tuning in, yes it is, Well with Anahila, and it's a conversation about well-being. Latavia, talofalava and welcome to Well with Anahila. How are you today?
I'm good, talofalava. Thank you for having me, Anahila.
Oh, thank you, Latavia. Thank you for being here. So I've just introduced you as a young person from West Auckland. Perhaps you can share a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 21 years old. I'm in my third year at the University of Auckland, studying a conjoint of law and arts, majoring in politics and Pacific studies.
Law and arts, majoring in
politics and Pacific studies.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm there on scholarships, so very mindful that I'm the product of my family's Pasifika migrant dream.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the daughter of a South Auckland factory worker father and a West Side beauty worker mum, so the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Mum wins, so you end up in the West Auckland.
Yeah, so in the blessed West, that's where I am. So I'm really passionate about people. The co-chair of Labanesia Auckland.
Labanesia Auckland,
which we can talk about more a bit later on. I was a member of the government's welfare expert advisory group.
The welfare expert advisory group,
So the group that produced the report, Whakamana Tangata, so returning dignity to the welfare system. I was a recipient of the 2018 New Zealand Youth Award for Leadership, which you were there at the ceremony for.
Youth Award for Leadership,
My mum would just say, I'm a ga'a who goes out too much. But yeah, so really happy to be here and really inspired by the work you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Latavia. Yeah, I'm just aware that you're 21 and you're involved, so your full-time study, your Labanesia, we'll talk about that soon. You were the welfare expert advisory group, and you were also the recipient of the Youth Award for Leadership. So one of the things that we talk about here is how people keep themselves well throughout all their passions in life. We may actually do two program if we don't have time to talk about all your what's going on out there in the West with your contribution to Auckland and New Zealand. We can come back in the next week or the week after to complete the next I'll tell Anoa. So, you say that you were a scholarship on the University of Auckland. So most people who talk about scholarship probably don't understand who are the funders and why. Perhaps you could share about the reasons why you applied for the scholarship or why you were awarded the scholarship.
Yes, so the reason I applied for scholarships was because I've always been really aware of my family's financial situation. We're very working class, and if I was to go to university, I'd be the first to go. So one of the factors that was in my head, and I'm sure in a lot of people's heads, is the financial aspect of it. So for me, it's like, how can I alleviate this stress for myself and my family? And I thought of scholarships. And my careers advisor was really helpful. So what I did, I was year 10, I think I was 13. 14.
And which school?
St. Dominic's College, West Auckland. I was the head girl there.
Head girl.
So very West. My aunties went there, my cousins went there, my mum went there. Well, my mum got kicked out of there, but you know, we're breaking those intergenerational cycles. So it's an awesome place to grow up in, but I just Googled it basically. Googled scholarships Pacific or scholarships for women. And it's really important to think about your identities and the different barriers that you face, because often there are scholarships that coincide and try to alleviate those barriers you've got. So then I looked those up and I just applied for everything. I didn't tell anyone because, you know, it's shaming if I don't get anything. So I just applied for heaps of scholarships.
Did you get help to apply for the scholarship? Or?
No, I didn't. I just, you know, it's our pride. It's our Pasifika pride. It's like, you know, I've just got to get it done, do the mahi, and hopefully get some treats. So I just applied for them. The process was a bit difficult, but you've got to make sure you've got the support of your family. But the help I did get was from different people in the community that I knew, so they could be my referees, which was really helpful and affirming. So it's really good to contact your mentors when you're doing those processes. Yeah. And then I got awarded a few to different universities, and Auckland Uni offered the most money. So
all right, I'll say.
So I went with two of them. So one of them was for First Foundation. Mm-hmm. They pair you up with an organization. Mm-hmm. So I was paired up with Chapman Tripp Law Firm. So okay. They're one of the biggest law firms in New Zealand. Yep. I'm so grateful for them. So they pay some of your fees and give you work experience at the firm. Mm. And then also one from the University of Auckland, Pacific Academic Excellence. So incredible opportunities, but they're also equity opportunities.
So you're the first in your family to attend university.
Yeah,
so
very
congratulations
lucky.
On that. And so why are you majoring in politics and Pacific Studies?
Yeah, I've always been really passionate about politics for some weird reason. Mm. I used to watch the news before I went to school in primary school.
Okay.
And I used to watch, was it called Young Guns? I think it was it was
Jacinda and Simon Bridges.
Yeah, and I used to tell my classmates, I honestly did, I was like 10 at the time, and I told my classmates, I said, she's going to be our prime minister.
Yeah.
And then when it came true, I was like, I spoke it into existence, I just want to say. And then my friends were like, oh my gosh. Was that the Jacinda that you were talking about in school?
Yeah.
And they weren't interested. But for me, I think it was really affirming to watch TV when I was younger and watch the news and have someone from the Labour Party talk about child poverty. And that was a situation I was growing up in.
Oh, so okay. Really, so that's how she connected with you.
That's how she connected
with me.
Before
you went to school.
Exactly. So, like, before I went to school, I was like, you know, with my, not that, you know, with my... what you can put together lunch, you know, and with the power on and off, you know, and to have someone in a position of power who had a platform really affirmed my existence and the need for me to have dignity is the reason why I got into politics. And also watching Helen Clark apologize for the Dawn Raids. That really got me interested in politics. And also I just want to be a part of creating or alleviating stress and poverty for our communities. And I feel like institutionally understanding politics is a way to be a part of that.
That's excellent. So it's interesting, because from that point of view of your Talanoa, Helen Clark apologizing for the Dawn Raid, you had an understanding of there was some wrong in that in that era, and just connecting with Jacinda on that level, talking about child poverty, and now we've got the child poverty as a law in New Zealand in terms of targets. Yeah, and okay, so you mentioned Labour Niger, so you've so what is Labour Niger? I know and you know Labour Niger, what's for those who are listening who don't know what Labour Niger is, what's Labour Niger?
So Labour Niger actually started off in Wellington with a small group of people who wanted to see more Pasifika representation in politics. And then us here in Auckland, we got really inspired by that. And because we're the Pasifika hub of New Zealand, we just thought we had an awesome opportunity to create a group for Pasifika young people to engage. And we got in contact with yourself and Se Manu, the co-chairs of the Pacific sector, Auckland for the Labour Party, and you've mentored us and it helped us create a group that really prioritises accessibility and safety in politics for Pasifika young people to navigate these spaces together. So it's really accessible for our young people. We've got people who are working, people who are studying in high school. So for us, it's all about making sure our group looks like what Pacific young people in New Zealand look like.
Okay.
Rather than being a group with only uni students, and I acknowledge the privilege I have as a uni student, and I want to alleviate that stress and that privilege for other people in the group.
Okay, so if I was listening and I'm a youth, how would I contact Labour Niger if I'm interested in Labour Niger?
Yeah, we've got two social media platforms, so we're on Instagram, so that's labourniger.auckland. So you could follow that and send us a message, or you could message us on Labour Niger Auckland the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're old school and like using emails,
yes,
then labornesia.auckland@gmail.com.
There you go, everyone. What we will do is when I know there's got to be more than your mum listening to the radio and my mum. So what we'll fingers crossed, we will have it up on the Facebook post for the program so that people can access it freely online when they're on their own time if they're not listening to us at the moment. Yeah. Okay. So what have you learned? So there's a theme coming along here. You've been watching The Young Guns. You like Jacinda since you were 10 at primary school, or before 10 in primary school. And then you like what Helen Clark said, and now you're at Labornesia. So there's a theme coming here in terms of your politics.
Yeah.
So I can take it that your politics is, yeah, on that side of... yeah, okay. So what's the young people in, that you've come across in terms of Labornesia or even at university, Pacific young people at university, what are they saying?
About
whatever's happening in Auckland at the moment or the world or how are they finding university?
Yeah, I think I'm really lucky to be surrounded by a lot of really like-minded young people who are really passionate about our people.
Mm.
I recently spoke to some friends and we had a really profound conversation around the way that we're going as young Pasifika, but also the opportunities that we stand on, that all of the sacrifices that were made before us.
Yeah,
but we're also, I feel like we're in a generation where we're understanding that success isn't just this Eurocentric university degree. We have the privilege of being able to unpack and decolonize these spaces. So I think that's one of the big themes, decolonization. And it sounds kind of confronting, I think, to a lot of people who don't really talk about it or who this may be their first time hearing it. But decolonization is actually good for everyone.
So what does it look like for someone at university? Because, you know, decolonization for me is different for you as a young person. Yeah. 21, attending university, Pacific young person in New Zealand.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
So for us at uni, we feel like it looks like holistic well-being, understanding holistic success, understanding what's going on at home, understanding all of the barriers that you've got before you get into the classroom. It's having content that is decolonized in its decolonized in its approach. So learning about New Zealand history from a te ao Māori perspective.
Yeah.
And from that approach, I don't want to hear from the same people that we've heard from for years about the treaty. I want to hear about te tiriti from Māori because it's decolonization. It's our stories told by our people.
Yeah, so I can understand on that level because I attended school here, primary, intermediate, and secondary and University of Auckland in Aotearoa, and we weren't taught that. So it's interesting to hear you also noticing that. I know that you also talked about understanding where you come from.
Yeah.
You know, and perhaps maybe we could talk about that, because I think from knowing you previously and just talking to you now, is that some sort of it comes out as something that fuels your passion. What about we talk about that? How did your family arrive in New Zealand?
So it was actually my grandparents who came here to New Zealand. So three of my grandparents came from Samoa, you know, one of the most beautiful islands in the Pacific.
Okay, we'll give that to you today. Yeah.
685. But so three of my grandparents came from there. They all came from Upolu. They came here as part of the big wave of migrants who
Year would that be?
So they came here in the 50s, 60s.
Uh-huh.
The dates are a bit smudged, you know, like their papers, but it's all sorted now.
They came on a boat, eh?
Came on a boat, So my family came on a boat. It was a struggle. My nanny came here at 17.
Where did they live? In Auckland?
Yep,
or?
So my nanny came, they all moved into Auckland.
Mm.
So my dad's side of the family, his parents, they met here in New Zealand, actually, but they both came to South Auckland.
Okay.
They went straight to South Auckland, and my mum's dad went straight to West Auckland.
Okay.
Yeah, and then my mum's dad met my grandmother who's Scottish in West Auckland, and then they had all their Afghasi children. And then my dad's parents met in South Auckland and had their six children. And then both of my parents were born in New Zealand. And
so you got Samoan and you got Scottish.
Yeah, I'm a quarter Scottish. I don't look it.
Yeah. So you got one person who wants to spend the money and one person doesn't want to do it.
One wants to give money to the Miamafas and the other one's just like, I don't know how
holding
I feel.
You back. Yeah. I need to talk but about this a little bit.
Three quarters of me wants to,
Okay.
Yeah, so my nanny, I feel really blessed because I recently sat down with my nanny last year and we had a really big conversation around why she came to New Zealand. Because I think I was feeling like my cup was really empty, like I was exhausted. And I was like, you know, I need a refill and a reminder of my why. And that's what you were really talking about. So, we sat down and my grandmother said she came here for school and for opportunities for us.
Did they speak English when they came here?
No, English.
So they
none of my grandparents
arrived here,
spoke English.
No
English.
So how was it for them?
It was really hard. It was really hard. They worked several jobs at a time, factory jobs. So my grandpa, he worked at Coca-Cola factory. When he lived out west, and my grandmother worked two jobs at the mattress factory and the sewing factory out south, raising six kids by herself.
Oh, okay. Wow. So six kids by herself.
Yeah, because my grandpa passed away from a hit and run when they were living in Otara. So that was really tough on my grandmother, but for me, she's just the epitome, like so many of our Pacific women, of like strength and resilience.
Yeah, yeah.
So she picked up another job and just kept moving on.
Yeah. So English, I understand what your grandparents went through in terms of English, because I came here and I only knew two words of English. It was yes and no.
Yeah.
So I had to learn everything else. So
when did
it was
you
a
come
real,
here?
I came here in 1980. Yeah, I know. Oh, gosh, it's a while back. that's 20 years after your people arrived here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you a lot of young people affiliate or have strong connections to the places where their grandparents where they grew up. So, for example, I landed here in Onehunga, and I've got a strong connection to Onehunga in terms of my identity. Where would yours lay?
Yeah, so I think Henderson and Mangere, they are very, very important places for me. Henderson's where my mum grew up, where all of my aunties and uncles grew up, and Mangere is where I spent all of my weekends and my holidays growing up with my nanny. And she still lives in the same house that they moved to after my grandpa passed away when my dad was eight. So that house is really, I feel like most Pasifika families, or I think families in general in New Zealand, there's one house in your family that you always go to for all of your gatherings.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, on Ashley Ave in Mangere East for us. It just reminds me of my childhood, all of our mattresses in one house and all eating chicken soup. And so that for me, those two places just are very, very important.
Yeah, so that's great. Yeah, we know what our place is. It's really interesting how people, when they talk about well-being, keeping themselves well, some people feel like they've got to go somewhere and do that. But what do you do? So you talked about your family. Is there anything else that you do that keeps you?
Yeah. I think for myself, being a really hearty liberal Catholic, my spirituality is a really strong protective factor. And confiding in my spiritual mentors is really important to me. So recently I had a really profound conversation with one of my mentors around like burnout and exhaustion. And she reminded me that for our faith, like our God is one of excellence. And if you're called to do it, then you'll thrive in it. But if you're actually not called to it, you're going to burn out really easily. So you need to just be really selective and intentional about the kind of work you're involved in. So I think that spirituality and having those people in your life who work as like vessels for that are really important for me, and like our culture is a protective factor as well. Belonging to like this incredible collective, and the power of storytelling and talanoa, as we know the importance of just talking. We've all got big mouths, so it's so nice.
Ask no
I'm shy. it's so good to be able to like talk to my cousins about how I'm feeling, because I feel like in this world no one gets my crazy family and my toxic tendencies and accepts it like my cousins will. So that's probably for me, that's how I keep myself safe.
It's interesting how you you said that you've gone to speak with your grandmother, you've gone to speak with your church person in terms of your spirituality. That actually took some sort of insight to do that, right? To know when you need, to know when you need that that feedback of just that reminder of why you do what you do. And of course we take for granted what the roles of our cousins and our friends have in our well-being. So as a group of young people, I know we've got about 9 minutes left in the session. As a group of young people at the University of Auckland, you know, all out there to achieve your goals and your aspirations through university, what are other things that you do talk about? Do you talk about how you keep yourself well, or how's everybody doing, or what sort of things do?
I think we
just charge ahead and study and change the world one conversation at a time.
No, I think we also, we talk about our past and I think a lot of my really close friends, we talk about healing intergenerational trauma, and that's a really big conversation to be having at our little weepy age. You know, I'm only 21, but I think these are really profound and important conversations we need to have. There's this saying, there's this photo that I saw recently, and it said, be gentle with yourself, you're healing intergenerational wounds. And for us, I think we talked about it recently, how people say, oh, that's just how the way it is, like it's always been like that in our family. To be able to say, no, it stops with B.
Because it really started somewhere, so it needs to stop by.
And it starts with colonization and all that stuff, and it's passed down through like toxic masculinity or like not talking about things and like, you know, the like silence being deemed as respect, like all of those kind of toxic habits that sometimes come down through generations. And we talk a lot about like projecting. Sometimes our parents project their own pain onto us. And sometimes it's hard to talk to our parents about that. So you talk to your friends about it. And I think in order to move on and in order to heal and to stay well, it's important to unpack why they were hurting and why they hurt me. And it wasn't a me problem, so that I don't go on and hurt my children.
It's funny how you call it toxic. It's such a strong word. I used to think it was guilt tripping. guilt trap, you know. But toxic is a,
I think it's used a lot more now, a lot more common. And I think it's toxic. For me, I just associate toxic with not being good for you. It's not good for you, not good for your holistic well-being. And it's toxic because it just doesn't make you feel good or do good to others. But it's like, it's just these like kind of habits that come through the generations that we just keep saying that are just habits and how the way it is. But we as a community and together, we could change that, and we can kind of go back to how it's kind of returning to how it used to be, you know, like that, this holistic well-being. Which is pretty cool.
We'll talk about the well-being budget, but I think later on in another session.
Awesome.
But today we'll just have a talanoa about how actually getting into young people's minds, because it's been a while since I was 21. But so what else do young people talk about at university?
Went to go to Shadows. No. That's the uni I'm just kidding.
The thing is that what you talk about in terms of talking about your past and unpacking, how does that contribute to your learning?
I think it just, for your learning, I think it just means that you're a lot more present in the classroom. You feel a lot lighter because you feel like you're sharing the burdens with other people. And it's like you're taking up your cross, but even Jesus didn't carry his cross up alone. You know? So it just, and it means you feel the sense of belonging and that you belong to a collective and that you belong in university. Because sometimes it can feel really really scary being at university, especially when some of us are the first to go in our families. So it's not a culture that we're used to for a lot of different people. So it makes you feel a bit safer. Yeah. Being able to confide in your friends who are at university that you've made there. You know, as you know, the importance of your uni friends and, you know, having those people you could lean on and people who understand what you're going through when things happen with your family. It's really helpful with your learning.
Yeah, I've my youth MP, her name is Jennifer Thorne-Reese, and she's at university. She tells me that where she's staying, she's in a dorm. You can count on your hand the Pacific people that, that she associate, that she sees in that dorm, and she said that it's just a surprise for her. I'm not sure whether I think she was expecting a lot more Pacific people.
It's
there.
It's a culture shock. I was in the halls in my first year because it's a part of one of the scholarships. It shouldn't be a part of one of the scholarships. So one of the scholarships is if you don't live in zone, then you've got to move into the halls for your first year and use about $14,000 of that money from your scholarship for the halls.
For the halls.
I live in West Auckland, Glen Eden, and I was out of zone. So all of South Auckland was out of zone. Most of West Auckland was out of zone. East Auckland was out of zone. So Central Auckland and like the North Shore were in zone, which I found quite problematic. And it was toxic. There were about four people in my halls that were Māori and Pasifika out of 172. You know? So it was really isolating, and it can feel isolating. So being but being close to those four people really made it a lot better for me if I was just by myself. I think it's a culture shock, not only ethnicity-wise, wealth-wise as well. It's really different.
But you know, when I visited, I felt, you know, if I had this environment in terms of, if we take out the culture component in terms of, I didn't see anything that I could relate with, but the technology that was there, right, the technology, the availability of room for people, young people to study, but if that was missing in terms of your cultural awareness or being part of the place, well, you had four people and you all got together to support your learning, but would the environment have supported your learning?
I think the location did because it was a lot easier to go to university. I could just walk there, which is really awesome. But I think culturally, I think as Pasifika, you don't really move out before 21.
That's
one of the biggest reasons that I stayed in Auckland for uni and didn't go to Victoria was because I wanted to be where all of my family are. So then for my first year, even to be at the halls in the city was really hard on my family and hard on myself. But I think sometimes in some aspects it might have been, and I think this would have been in their minds when they did it, it would have been good to be away from all of the cultural obligations and the family obligations for time. But whether that was good for me spiritually is the question, but it was good for me academically.
And I don't think a lot of people who are out of the zone could afford $14,000 a year to be in the dorms.
So they so we had like $20,000 in the scholarship and we had to use the $14,000 of it On dorms. And I didn't apply for scholarships so I could stay in these dorms. But also, I prayed on it. I talked to my family about it and we decided to go. But yeah, your youth MP is right. It's still very similar. They're not too many Pasifika people in the halls because we tend to either not afford it or scholarships wise, that's the only reason we'd go.
And she's making her mark and I'm pretty sure she'll do okay. We're going to have her on the station to host a program. We're almost at the end of our conversation today. Perhaps as the last minute of our talanoa today, if you could share something about positive about university, about Labournesia, about being in West Auckland, South Auckland, feel free to do that now.
Awesome. So Labournesia, we've got a mental health event coming up in October, the second week of October. So that's for high school students in South Auckland. We'll be hosting it at MIT. We'll have food and workshops and some awesome guest speakers. So that would be a great thing to come along to. And if you'd like to support that, just get in touch with us on our social media. Or if you'd like to be involved in organising that, then our social media or our email would be a great way to contact us.
Okay, so for kids at high school, would they have to get permission? Is that during school or is that in the weekend?
So that's Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
It'd be a two-day, first day's workshop, second day's about guest speakers. But so for the first day, we'll be contacting schools in South Auckland to make sure that there's permission.
So it's South Auckland only?
No, it's open to West Auckland, but it's based in South Auckland.
Well. Okay, cool. We'll post the information up on the Facebook post off this podcast.
Awesome.
Lady, thank you, Latavia, for being with me today. That's been a great talanoa. We'll continue our talanoa at a later stage, but we're out of time for today. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Latavia Taiopo Nairi June Anastasia Tuasia Tautai. And you thought my name was wrong. Anahila Kanongata Asui Suiki. The Labourist MP based in Papakura and Tāmaki. You've been listening to Well With Anahila, and that was our talanoa today. Have a great evening. Thank you for listening. Ka kite anō.